What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and we're going to be aspirational today with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. So, got a question. Okay. Did you see the 1999 movie Jumanji with Robin Williams?
I did. I have seen that a couple times.
Of course, you've got mm-hmm. kids. Of course you saw it, right? So in the movie, the main character, Alan Parrish, he was the son of a business owner. Do you remember what kind of company it was?
Yes. It was a factory that made shoes.
That's right. That is exactly right. So, yes, that's correct. Probably think for the kinds of shoes that they made, thinking of penny loafers and, you know, shiny wingtips.
Yeah, like leather tips. Shoes.
This is back in the 60s, right?
Right. Okay.
So, as you would expect from a shoe manufacturing company in the 60s, there was, you saw in the movie, lots of machinery. And it was in this old New England mill building and a bunch of middle-aged dudes wearing aprons and feeding leather into machines and lots of noise. And it was definitely a manufacturing process, right?
Right, right.
Then you can like smell the oily machines and the smell of the fresh cut leather, right? Right.
Yep. I'm there.
Yeah. So now that we got that familiar in your head, what a shoe manufacturing process looks like, let me now ask you, what pops into your head when I say Nike?
Okay.
Yeah. So as soon as I said that, did you have kind of a disconnect in your head?
Yeah.
Like you had to leap away from where you just were to something completely different. It just didn't line up.
Yeah,
right?
I've never thought about how Nike shoes were made.
Right, right. You never thought about how they were made because they never talk about it first, right? But when most people think of Nike, they don't have that picture in their head about, you know, that looks like the Parrish Shoe Company with the leather and the dudes in the aprons and soles being sewn on uppers and, you know, stitching and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you don't have that picture at all.
Right, no.
So, okay, so what did pop into your head?
Just like the swoosh and athletes wearing the shoes and doing things with the shoes.
Okay, well, before we go too far on a tangent, interesting that opening scene, you know, where Alan is riding his bike through town and he goes around a roundabout and he's on his way to his dad's factory and then the town bullies chase him down and start to beat him up, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was filmed in Keene, New Hampshire, and that's where my youngest son went to college. Most of his math classes were like in a building just a couple of blocks from there.
Nice.
It's right in the downtown area. Yeah. So what do you think of when I say Nike? So.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go with their standard archetype description. So what popped in my head was a mashup of a bunch of ideas like health and youth and vigor and athletes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when I think about their commercials, they usually have super achieving athletes in their commercial.
Right, right. So when you think of those athletes, do you think to yourself, I could slam dunk a basketball just like Michael Jordan. Yeah, I could do that.
Well, I am vertically challenged, so probably not that. But, I mean, it would be super great if I could.
You're saying that you can imagine one aspiring to be like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, sure. That's fair.
Yeah. So what we're talking about today is being aspirational. And a lot of brand people will talk about aspirational brands when it's super obvious that the brand is overtly and in your face trying to be aspirational, right?
Okay.
So what we're talking about is this whole idea. And there were some things that were not kind of solid in my mind on whether all companies could be or how this idea of aspiration fits with archetypes. So that's kind of why I'm throwing it on the table so we can talk about it.
Okay.
So,
but it kind of feels like aspiration, like that, like you just said, that overt aspiration in your face might really only fit with a couple of archetypes. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's limiting like that?
Well, that was one of the things that popped into my head. And I put a little bit of thought into it and wanted to kind of run some of these things by you and get your take on it. So I'm bringing it up for the topic for the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not convinced that it's limiting. In fact, I'm kind of hoping that we discover today that it's a powerful idea that a lot of brands might want to consider. I mean, it may not be exactly right for you. I'm thinking that an outlaw brand aspiration might be a little bit too soft and warm and fuzzy to pull off, but I wouldn't eliminate it totally. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. I don't know I sent you an article. What, you know, did you get a chance to read that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So just a recap for our listeners, the article was from Inc. magazine and the title of it was "Steve Jobs Stole His Best Idea Ever from Nike's Brilliant Two-Word Marketing Strategy." It's a long title. Right. And yeah, the subtitle, "Aspirational Brands Talk About People, Not Products." So we'll include a link in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I read the title of that article, of course, Steve Jobs stealing his best idea from Nike. Of course, this is a brand.
I know, what did he steal?
Yeah, right. Right? Yeah, right. I'm thinking, Watergate.
Yeah, right.
So first I had to find out what Steve Jobs stole from Nike. And then the whole subtitle talking about people, not products. Of course, that, you know, strikes near and dear to my heart. I don't know about you, but that's kind of a gimme.
Yeah.
So, I definitely wanted to find out what was on the innards of that article. So,
yeah. So a great quote from the article is, "In their ads, as you know, they don't ever talk about the product. They don't ever talk about their air soles, how they're better than like Reebok's air soles or another competitor. What's Nike do in their advertising? They honor great athletes and they honor great athletics. That is what they are all about."
Close quote. Yeah. So how many times have we said that here?
Oh my gosh, all the time we say that.
I didn't realize that was a quote from Steve Jobs. I've never heard that before. So it was, again, striking near and dear to my heart. It's not about the products. In fact, we would even go so far beyond what he said and to distill, it's all about the emotional connection, right? But the article distilled his quote down to just two words, no products. You know, they pointed out that Steve took, I think he said seven words, what did they say? They don't ever talk about the product. But the article writer said, no products, really mm-hmm. trying to drive, in all caps, trying to drive no that products. Point home.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, and although they said that aspirational brands don't talk about their products, we would turn around and say that no company should focus their marketing on their products.
True that. Yeah.
And if I'm picking up what you're putting down, we should be asking if all companies should be aspirational. And that's really what you're getting at with this topic today.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah, that's exactly right. So what do you think?
I think the first thing that I'd like to explore is what actually is aspiration in a marketing sense.
Pick me.
You little boy waving your hand in the back of the room. What do you think?
if we think about how most people live their entire lives, it's with aspirational goals. So let me give you an example, because I know this is to be true for myself, and I do expect everyone to have this kind of a response. So Amy, when you were a little girl, what did you want to be when you grew up? And don't tell me it was to become a digital agency owner with a focus on content creation.
Well, I do enjoy what I do now, for sure. Yeah, but yeah, no, I didn't see myself doing that. It wasn't super far off. I mean, I don't know. I saw myself being like a National Geographic reporter, like traveling the world and reporting about on really cool things. That's what I wanted to do. So when I went to college, I got a journalism degree, and that's obviously not what I ended up doing, but cool. I kept, I knew I wanted to write, and that never changed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I wanted to be an astronaut.
Of course you did.
It was a science thing, yeah. I think the vast majority of us not only have those aspirational ideas and goals like this when we're little kids, and I really do think we all have them. It's kind of driven into us by our parents and our grandmas and aunts and uncles. They ask us, what do you want to be grow up? Right, exactly. But I think we continue to have these ideas all throughout our whole lives. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so if all people have aspirational goals and ideas, what we're really doing is we're just tapping into those, right? So I have to ask, what do you aspire to be now that you're almost a grown-up?
Yeah, right? Almost adulting. My aspiration now for the legacy that I want to leave is I want to say that I gave $1 million to the arts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
ZD Media has a large focus on the arts community, and we donate quite a bit of money, and I think I'm going to do it in small pieces over time. Yeah. I mean, it would be amazing to hand a check for $1 million to somebody, but I don't think that's how it's going to happen. But yeah, that's my big aspiration.
So if you ever hear about Jim Carrey's goal, he wrote himself a check for $1 million.
Okay.
And then made a point to keep that check and as his motivation, and one day decided that he would cash it. So he did. Just got around to, all he had to do is get around filling up the bank account with that much money.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, so having aspirations, nothing wrong with it. So once again, you hit the nail on the head about, you know, what is aspiration. You know, we're all aspiring to do something, right? But let's now tie this back to archetype branding. So, thinking about this in advance a bit, I think that there are some things that we need to consider. So, here, let me list the notes that I jotted down. So, does your target audience have a common aspiration? You know, if you are serving a group of people that you've targeted and you've created personas for, does this group have a common aspiration? And if so, what is it? The second thing is, do companies that focus on an archetype, do they have the possibility of choosing a single or a small handful of aspirations?
Yeah.
Yeah, for, you know, what kinds of aspirations would be suitable for that company with that archetype? And is there something or some person that is kind of the ultimate, the pinnacle, the peak, the ultimate goal? What is it that we're actually trying to aspire to? Like in the Nike example, flying through the air in slow motion like Michael Jordan doing a slam dunk. That's the aspiration, right? So if we can come up with those ideas, I think that we can figure out here if this is going to actually work. So let's give it a go, right?
Yeah, okay. So let's start with something other than the hero, since Nike has clearly established that path to success. Let's go with, the lover.
Okay. And because that one has two pretty distinct sub-archetypes, I would suggest that we narrow it down a little bit further. So there's the romantic side and the sex side of the
lover. Let's do sex.
Let's do sex. You know, that could be put into a commercial. No, right. That's later in the podcast.
It is later in the podcast. Funny stay commercial tuned. Coming up. Good plug, Kevin.
That's right. Segue.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so
I'd say the aspirational idea is to be alluring, desired, to achieve an intense, gratifying relationship, to be sexy, right?
To actually be sexy.
Yeah.
That you are sexiness.
Yep.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will buy that. So what's the pinnacle? Who or what has achieved that ultimate goal of being sexy?
Ooh, you could pick any number of people to be your spokesperson or model for that. If you picked males, it could be like Bradley Cooper, David Beckham, Brad Pitt, you know, tapping into my mind here. Females could be, who's trending right now? Like Megan Fox, Scarlett Johansson, Jennifer Lawrence. Any of those.
Who's the?
It would be really long. I mean, there's so many beautiful people, but you wouldn't actually even have to go with like a famous person. You could just with an attractive or sexy person, and it wouldn't.
Yeah, look at the models that are picked for like perfume commercials and stuff.
Right,
they're not super famous, but they are definitely sexy, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So what we went through here is the idea of, you know, picking an archetype, deciding is this a possibility? And yeah, I think we pretty well established it could be done with a lover. So let's do another one that might be harder than the hero again. Let's try the, well, let's, here, let me try to pick probably I would think would be the hardest one. I think ruler would probably be the hardest, but let's try innocent. Let's try innocent? The innocent.
Okay. Well, the first thing that would be to know that the aspiration is to achieve pure bliss. The innocent is all about that. No chaos, no complexity, no anger, no problems, right. Just bliss.
Okay. So, I would say that by saying what you just said, that is kind of the idea, the big idea. And how about if our pinnacle is like Gandhi?
Oh, yeah.
Or how about a Native American shaman?
Yeah. You know, like you know, someone who's just very zen. Yeah.
Yeah, someone really connected to the earth and really grounded, you know, super calm and just, yeah. They just are so with it. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, we don't have time to go through all 27 archetypes or even probably just the 12 basic ones, but let's do one more. Let's try the artist.
Okay. So let me do the aspiration part of it. I would say the audience for the artist archetype, and this is people for any type of company who is trying to be really creative. They may not be selling art products or, you know, fine art online or something. You're not literally the artist. You're just exuding creativity. I would say that the target audience for those companies, that they are drawn to ultimate creative freedom. And I wanted to pick the words very particular, especially there. Ultimate creative freedom. You know, it's a kind of a full release of all of your creative energy.
Yeah.
People who are creative really desire that. I'm kind of going through that.
Yeah,
it's
a good way to say that. Yeah.
With right now with music and art right now. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of in a creative explosion. So thanks for picking this one. Let's see. What would the pinnacle be? I don't know. Amy, what do you think?
Maybe like you could go with an artist like Picasso.
Yeah, someone, I can see that.
I mean, like he was not only a part of a sea change in his industry, but someone who steered everyone else like into a completely new direction.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean that constructive cubism and really off the wall there.
Right. Yeah.
I would even say that you could go with someone more contemporary, like Banksy. Do you know who Banksy is? So cool. Yeah. So it's not just the art form that he breaks. It's kind of breaking the law. He's a little bit of a outlaw there.
Right.
Painting on buildings and going onto private property and climbing the buildings and stuff. And he definitely doesn't use a traditional canvas.
Right.
I would say that you could definitely feel inspired by someone like Banksy. Yeah.
Yeah, but to your point you made earlier that creative archetypes aren't all just artists producing art. You know, like Sesame Street is one of my favorite examples of the artist or creator archetype, and they're not really creating art per se, but they're super creative and inspirational in the way that they teach kids and all the different different things they do. And
right.
So yeah, it could be something. Yeah,
and think of all the guests that they have on.
Yeah. Right? True.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all inspirational for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we did three of them. What do you think now? Do you think we go through all of the archetypes and?
A fun exercise, though. It would be fun to think about the, like you mentioned, the ruler would be interesting. But
yeah,
but you could do it because, like, I mean, rulers are always about power and, you know, influence and we're the best and we don't really care what anyone else thinks. And I'm sure we could come up with examples of people that are like that, Kevin.
You mean, are you saying there are people in the world who seek out ultimate power? No.
Yeah, I know.
It's not true.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so yeah, we could definitely go through all of the archetypes, like you said. I think that would be really kind of fun. Yeah, this was a fun one. I could definitely do this stuff all day long.
Well, and but I think you know, we talk about your brand being about an emotion. And I think sometimes that's a little bit hard for people to grasp at first, especially if they've never thought about it in that way before. But talking about it more as an aspiration, that's a little bit more tangible, I think, for people to understand. So that's just a different way to kind of look at that same sort of concept.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, we have a treat in the, you know how when you go to the movies and at the very tail end of the credits, there's still six or seven people in the theater waiting for something?
Yeah, you get rewarded for staying till the very end.
Sometimes, and you never know when it's going to happen, but sometimes you get rewarded. So if you stay tuned to the end of the wrap-up today, you might get rewarded. So are we going to give any kind of a prep for that, or are we just going to play it?
I'm going to give the wrap-up, because we always do that too. So
yeah.
And then after that, we're going to do something new that we're going to end all our podcasts with, called Marketing Mayhem.
Ooh, Marketing Mayhem. Yeah,
good time for like spooky season right now, right?
Yeah. So
all right, the wrap-up.
Are we gonna for the Marketing Mayhem each week? Because this is our first time doing this.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited because I know what commercial I know. You picked.
It's so ridiculous.
So do we even want to tell people that it's
specific archetype? I got a whole plan. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Okay. Give us the wrap-up then.
Okay. So wrapping it up. If you're feeling inspired to get your customers to aspire, then we met our goal for the day. If in this process you have questions, feel free again to always reach out to us and talk to us about your inspirations, or even if you're struggling to find that aspiration for your brand, we'd love to talk to you. So head over to brandarchetypes.com to find out more. We'll have the links to our show notes for everything we talked about today, and you can contact us there and follow us on all the social at Brand Archetypes. All right, so are you ready for the very first Marketing Mayhem Corner? All right, so here it is. So we've decided to look back. We may have some examples of modern advertising and marketing as they come along, but we're going to start with going back a ways. And just, you know, showing you or letting you listen to some commercials or things that are in this day and age would be considered like absolutely ridiculous, right? Like people just, or like I've come across so many vintage ads that are just so sexist, even like racist, and just being like, wow. Yeah. So how far we have come, right?
Right. So
the first one is a commercial from Johnson Motorboats. And
that's the outboard motor for powerboats, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yep. Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm going to play it.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites. You, your friends, and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails. You, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights. You, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
All right. So, just to like describe it a little bit, obviously it's like these guys in boats, they're fishing, they're like with their family, whatever, you know, I mean, it's just like, but I'm sure like listening to it, something else completely popped into your mind.
No.
Like what?
I don't know what you're talking about, Amy.
Oh, I love it. My husband said that to me on Twitter, and he was like, hey, here's a commercial for your Marketing Mayhem.
I am crying right now. That was just so over the top.
I mean, I would love to be in the room, like, when they're coming up with these ideas. Like, did anybody in that room be like, oh, can we do that?
We can't do that. We no way. We can't do that. Can we? Then someone said, can we?
And then they did.
there's three or four people who aren't answering that question.
Oh, sorry. Started playing again. I was so excited. Okay.
So are we going to be, we are focusing on vintage stuff or?
No, not necessarily, but honestly, like a lot of them, that's where I'm finding the most like ridiculous things, just because we've advanced, hopefully, a little bit. As
well,
a
you know, that would actually be a good and interesting topic for a podcast. You know, what used to be allowed
yeah.
in the past, and why have things changed? Not just what has changed, but why have things changed? Because there's been a really big shift in the nature of commercials.
True. So, but like I mean, I could see this commercial like still happening today. You know, I can, but yeah. I think that it would be done in a way like this commercial just completely plays out as if they don't understand what they're saying. Like they don't give a nod to it at all, which I feel like at today all. They'd be like, yeah. wink, 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 you know, yeah. like there would yeah. be that, you know, like we know what we're saying kind of thing. Yeah. But
you know, the guy would be standing in his fishing waders and then he'd look down into his pants. And,
oh my God. Yeah. That'd be so great. Yeah. yeah but yeah, but it's a good discussion to see like then and now kind of commercials, but
yeah. Okay. So yeah. In the future, we won't go quite as deep. We're just going to be kind of prep it and play it. And
yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So, cool. I love this. I love this. Okay.
Yeah. And thanks, send Amy. Us, yeah. And to our listeners, like send us any of your examples because we might feature them on our show.
Would love that. Getting all right. Input from the peeps. Okay. Talk all to right. you.
Cool. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.